other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Oh, hello.
Welcome to Yak Babies. My name is Aaron, and I'm here with my personal pals.
On the only podcast on the internet sponsored by books, officially, and forever. They can't take that back. It's a part of the contract. I'm here with Dave. Say hello.
Hello.
And Brick.
What am I supposed to say?
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Thank you. And then calling from across the seas, from the Emerald Isle, the land of joy, and I didn't want to say leprechauns, but I did. Nico, say hello.
Hello.
Old Irish Nico.
Is Ireland known as the land of joy? I really don't think so, but that's what I came up with.
No, it's not. No.
In your professional opinion, is there a lot of joy?
It's more the land of historic oppression and kind of a fortitude in the face of oppression, but not joy. I wouldn't say joy, no.
Resolute lack of joy. Well, what gathers us here today on this auspicious occasion? Well, my friends, what are we reading? Let's check in every once in a while and sort of see what people are checking out. What are they reading on their nightstand, on their bookshelf, on their reading list, etc. Their Kindle app, their Audible account, whatever it is. And as I mentioned before, we're breaking up in the new year, doing sort of different kinds of what are reading lists or discussions, and we're breaking them up by genre. And we did fiction before, and so this one is nonfiction then. I want to hear what my fellow babies are reading that is nonfiction oriented and check in there. So let's break up this pattern. I know, Nico, you've been excited to share this for a while, a new hobby of yours. I can't wait to hear more about it. Tell us, what nonfiction are you reading?
So we were making fun of people who read golf books, or more specifically, was making fun of people who read golf books previously. But, so I've lived in Ireland for about a year and a half, and I took up golf about a year ago. And somehow I found myself reading a book called A Course Called Ireland. the subtitle is A Long Walk in Search of a Country, a Pint, and the Next Tea. And
oh my God. Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah.
And I guess fittingly, it's written by a American who has Irish heritage. And so he comes back to Ireland, and his idea is and this is very much kind of a writer looking for a book idea. But his idea is like he's going to go to County Kerry and start right next to this course that he and his father played when he was younger. And he's going to walk around the entire perimeter of Ireland and wind up at that course. And along the way, he's going to play every links course in Ireland. And a links course is basically just a course that's next to the ocean, and it has kind of different characteristics because it's the ground is basically sand, so it drains faster than most courses in Ireland. For reference, I don't play at a links course. I play at a course in the middle of the country, which is usually extremely muddy and soggy. It's great, but it's not a links course. And so I guess his kind of theory is that, or his thesis is that he for one thing he can play every single links course in Ireland, which I think is 42 or something. And he winds up, and also the other thing is he's walking. So he walks the entire perimeter of Ireland. He walks over 1,100 miles.
Wow. Including Northern Ireland?
Yeah, including Northern Ireland. Yeah. And so it was written or is published in 2009. I think he did it in 2007, which is kind of important because he talks a lot about how Ireland is booming and like how there's so much, there's like so much economy like happening and like, wow, these Irish people are really doing great. And of course, in 2008, that sharply declined.
Yeah.
And other than that, I mean, really, like, it was interesting to me because I have the two intersecting interests of Ireland and golf. And so, and if you don't have both of those, this is really not a book that you want to read. I mean, maybe if you're interested in golf, maybe. But if you're just interested in Ireland, like, go ahead and skip it.
What's golf?
What's golf?
So if you it was cool for me to kind of read about, like, so he comes right up through Sligo and he goes right past, and his favorite bar, in fact, in all of Ireland is this bar that I've been to called the Beach Bar. That's about half an hour from Sligo. It's in the middle of absolutely nowhere, and basically it's his favorite bar in the entire country because he's kind of an idiot. And he doesn't understand, like, so he plans this trip from America, and people are like, you shouldn't do this. And he's like, no, I'm going to do it. And they're like, no, but you shouldn't, like, all these. And so he plans this, like, trip where he's, like, walking between all these B&Bs and all this stuff. But he doesn't understand that, like, the roads in Ireland are not equipped for walking at all. Like, they're equipped for mostly for driving tractors, but secondarily for driving cars, maybe a bicycle, but walking is, like, insane. And so everybody tells him that it's crazy, and he still does it, and he manages to survive. He kind of jokes about how close the cars get to hitting him on the road because there are no, like, sidewalks. It's just, like, it would be the equivalent of walking down 93 in Boston, right, without any kind of shoulder. Like, so if the guardrail is right next to the road and that's where you walk, that's the equivalent of doing this for 1,100 miles.
Right. That's terrifying.
So it's kind of interesting. Like, the Beach Bar is his favorite bar, basically because he doesn't understand how far the distances are. So he's like, oh, I'm going to be walking for like 25 miles a day for 3 days to get to the next stop. And then the Beach Bar is in the middle. And he's like, oh, this is my favorite bar in Ireland because it means I can stop.
Right.
Yeah. So that's about it. Unless you really like golf, I mean, there's no reason to read this book.
As I
mentioned, and yet it's like one of the most highly thought of books about golf that there is, apparently. Oh, yeah. Well, so that tells you a lot about golf books, I guess.
Well, yeah. As I mentioned before, this is the most dad shit I ever heard of. For someone who does not have children, that's an astonishingly dad thing to be reading.
Yeah.
It's amazing. All right, Brick, what about you?
Well, in addition to I'll Be Gone in the Dark, which we're going to talk about separately, or maybe we already have at this point, I just picked up this super short, it's not even really a book, Myth and Meaning by Claude Levi-Strauss, who every once in a while I like to pick up philosophy books or anthropology or spiritualism books just for a kind of change of pace. Mm. I always like learning about things that I don't know a lot about. And so he was a famous cultural anthropologist, French, studied a lot of mythology around the world and sort of how that relates to our culture and stuff. This isn't so much a book. It's not a book. I mean, it's physically a book, but it's a transcription of a series of lectures.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. It's all right. I remember I read one of his books in grad school, actually. Anyway, this is curious. What I liked about it was, you know, it's thought-provoking, but at the same time, it's dated.
Hmm.
There's a whole section where he compares, I think it's a Canadian native myth, I can't remember which culture it was, to computer binary.
Hmm.
And tries to relate that some of the thought processes and logic that computers use, those same patterns existed in the structure of the story.
Hmm.
It was a little hard to follow the thread, but it had a very sort of, maybe, I don't say naive, but simple view of technology strengths and limitations at the time.
When was it published?
It was published in the 70s, but I think the speeches were from the mid-60s.
Hmm.
So lectures from 1962.
Mm. So, I mean, you know, old.
Yeah. Old, so more of a curiosity than anything that's really going to be super illuminating, but...
Yeah.
I mean, it's like 70 pages, so
right.
It was fine. I would like to go back and read his books or at least, you know, some of them.
Yeah.
Where he actually digs into things a little more. I'm not so much interested in his connections between the old and the new as the act of mythology and the roles it played within cultures themselves, like the more anthropological angle of it.
Right.
That's it.
Excellent. Dave.
I read a book by Susan Orlean called The Library Book, about which I ended up having some mixed feelings. So her jumping off point is there was a fire, a 1986 fire in the Los Angeles Central Library, which ruined, nobody died or anything, but it ruined like hundreds of thousands of books. And it took down pretty much the whole building.
Hmm.
But it happened like a day or two before Chernobyl, which then dominated the news after that for obvious reasons. They landed on at least the strong suspicion that it was arson, and they ended up pinning it on this sort of like failed actor who bragged to friends about being on the scene and at least implied that he started the fire, but then like his story kept changing. So that aspect of it was really interesting, but they never convicted the guy, the out-of-work actor, and he died a long time ago from AIDS, and there just wasn't, so there wasn't a whole lot for her to still go on. She talked to people who were involved that day and who worked there and everything, obviously, but that makes up maybe one quarter of the book, if that, but she uses that as sort of a springboard to talk about libraries in general, the LA system specifically, dating back to the 19th century. And then there's an element of memoir involved, her childhood in particular experiences of libraries. So the parts about the fire are super interesting. And a lot of her sort of memoiristic writing is also very good. But the two of those comprise maybe half the book total. And the rest is like the super in-depth stuff about the LA system and sort of libraries in general. What's like the future of libraries? What kind of libraries do they have around the world? Like, you know, South America, like wandering donkey libraries, that kind of stuff. So I think a lot of it got maybe a little too esoteric for my taste. Mm. Like it's an excellent book for people who are interested, even passionate about libraries. Like it would make a great gift if you know any librarians, because she clearly loves libraries. She's passionate about them. She writes passionately about them, but it was a lot of it was maybe a little overboard for my tastes. Like there are parts where her passion for libraries gets a little overboard.
Yeah.
And I brought an example of some of that. It's like it, to me, and you know, I'm sure there are a lot of people who would like a passage like this. So again, this is just my, I guess, my own take on it. But like this passage showed up early on in the book, and I was like, all right, well, you probably time to pump the brakes. So she's writing about her appreciation of libraries. It wasn't that time stopped in the library. It was as if it were captured here, collected here, and in all libraries. And not only my time, my life, but all human time as well. In the library, time is dammed up, not just stopped, but saved. The library is a gathering pool of narratives and of the people who come to find them. It is where we can glimpse immortality. In the library, we can live forever. What do you guys think of that?
Yeah, I can see your point. It's a bit overblown.
It sounds overwritten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that, and some of it I appreciated. A lot of it, like I said, was a little overboard. Obviously, this is like the more memoristic part of it. The factual stuff concerning the fire itself is well worth reading about. Overall, like, I enjoyed it. I'm glad I read it. Again, it would make a great gift or like a recommendation for people, you know, who love libraries. But I'm definitely not ever going to read it again. Like, I can't imagine a scenario in which I would want to read this book again.
Right. It has a, just from descriptions, it has a feeling of a book that was written or began as a magazine piece and sort of was evolved into a book. Do you know anything about that? Or is
right,
that...
huh? Yeah, I mean, knowing her, it's maybe... I mean, she... There was some mention in the beginning. Like, I don't think she moved to L.A. because of this story, but maybe she and her husband moved to L.A. and she picked up on this story. Mm-hmm. And then while she was there, like, living there, she just really went all in on it.
Right.
Like, she took a leave of absence from The New Yorker to
oh, wow.
to tackle this book. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, sometimes it can be I don't know, annoying when you read a book and you can tell that sort of begin as a magazine piece that has been evolved, sort of like built up. And you can sometimes, maybe it's overestimating my sort of reading, but like you can sort of feel where the break happens, where it's like, oh, this was the first piece and this is where it was added to. And you're like, I don't want to read your adaptation or added thoughts. Like if it's a magazine piece, let it be a magazine piece and don't have to force it into a novel. There was a 33 and a third I read recently about Nick Drake that you could tell was written as a magazine piece first and then evolved into a book pitch, which again, fine, it wasn't a bad book, but I was like, I can sort of see the seams here,
right? Yeah,
and it bugs me.
Yeah, it definitely has a journalistic feel to it, not in a bad way, but yeah, I mean, she's chasing a story, but the problem is that the story is kind of dead, and the story died a lot of years ago, so she does what she can to work her way around it. And it's it's Susan Orlean, it's very well written. But, you know, again, there were some parts that were a little overblown, but, you know, it kept my interest, but there were a lot of times where it struggled to keep my interest.
Mm.
It also had deckled pages, which is not her fault, but I fucking hate that.
It had what?
Deckled pages, deckled edges. Makes it really hard to flip through the book or, like, to find the pages you dog-eared.
Uneven pages?
Like that. I don't understand the appeal.
Yeah. That's, like, the sign that, like, I want you to think of this as like a literary book.
Yeah. Capital letters.
So speaking of Susan Orlean, and in a previous podcast, we were talking about books versus movies. What do you guys think about adaptation versus?
I love adaptation.
Whatever that.
I never read the Orchid.
Because that was based on a.
Yeah.
You know what? We probably should actually talk about that one. I never read The Orchid Thief, but I have to imagine the book was, or the movie was.
It's a totally different thing.
I wasn't going to say better, but...
different, yeah.
Like a prime example of something that took the original. And when we were having that conversation, I was trying to think of... There's a lot of, you know, there's the books about writers, but there's not a lot of movies that effectively, like, get, you know, meta with it, you know. Like
fictionalized nonfiction. Mm.
Yeah.
Being John Malkovich kept popping into my head, but that obviously that's not... But those kind of things were like the creation of the thing as part of the thing, you know?
Yeah.
That was a very good movie. Especially, I really liked the first, like, 30 seconds when they do the history of the planet. Yeah, that was great.
Well, it's not surprising you brought John Malkovich, which is both written by Charlie Kaufman, and he's sort of like, super focused on...
Schenectady, New York is similar, too.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Adaptation is a story of someone who tried to adapt a novel into a movie and didn't succeed, right? So it's, like, absolutely about that concept. I love that movie. I think it's great. And maybe the best of the... latter year Nick Cage performances, probably.
Right. And you could tell kind of that it seemed like he was trying to write one of those kind of inferior adaptations of it and was like, this isn't working.
Yeah.
And then just kind of spun out and managed to pull it off. But I mean, fuck, what a
That's
what
why
a
he
risk.
Created the character of Donald Kaufman, his supposed twin brother, to be this like separate person who can write that and like succeeds in doing so, whereas he isn't capable of doing it. It's this like weird commentary on what you allow yourself to do.
Yeah, and the parts where like the story starts to get written by Donald Kaufman,
it's more exciting,
and like there starts to be like car chases and shit, and it's like
it's a great movie. Excellent. I don't have anything to report except for All Beyond the Dark, which we'll discuss in a future episode, actually probably pretty soon. So look forward to Brick and Nico and I sort of breaking down our reading of Michelle McNamara's All Beyond the Dark. I have much more to say about it then. So for now, I'll just say I liked it.
That's right. I'm going to be on assignment then.
Yeah. Dave is going to be on assignment tracking down Susan Orlean and interrogating her about...
We're looking for information on the whereabouts of Susan Orlean.
Whereabouts. My God.
3, 2, 1.
Moving right along from that. well, listeners, we don't know what you're reading. Let us know what's going on in your on your nightstand, your bookshelf, your reading list, whatever it is, at Yak Babies on Twitter. And you can email us at yakbabiespodcast@gmail.com. And in this new year, as part of our sort of Yak Babies Season 2, Yak Babies 2.0, whatever you want to call it, you can go to patreon.com/yakbabies and find for one solitary dollar all of our bonus content there. Talking game shows, you're talking Bro to Bros, you're talking confessional stories from our past, all kinds of things we don't want you to record. things that we say in the mic when we don't think that it's being recorded, but it actually is. It gets spliced up and sort of saved. All that kind of stuff is there. So follow us there if you'd like, or contribute, or whatever you want to call that, and get more Yak Babies content, because we are providing it for you. Until then, this is Yak Babies yakking off.
Golf, the game of kings. Take your time, baby. Make that swing. Golf is the sun, it's the moon, it's the earth. Golf is old ladies with bright purple hair. Ah, golf, it's the game of kings. Everybody loves golf, 'cause it's the game of kings.